Hi, and welcome.
I'm Z.
And I'm Keith.
And we're going to tell you about the movie that we just watched. But first, a little bit of a heads up.
Some of the movies we watch deal with heavy subject matters.
In order to talk about these emotionally delicate things and the heavy subject matters that we sometimes cover, we add humor and crude language to add some levity and to process our own trauma.
If that doesn't feel fun or safe for you, we completely understand. Please take care of yourself first and foremost.
And we spoil the end of pretty much every movie that we watch.
Now you know. On with the show.
I just want to read this. Was that you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
That scared the anonymity. This is IMDb trivia.
You have the floor.
The two top billed leads, Michael Keaton and Christopher Lloyd, share last names, which are the same as the surnames of two famous Hollywood silent movie comedians, they being Buster Keaton and Harold Lloyd, respectively. There's nothing respective about this fucking comment. They being is what they said. They being.
Yeah, I don't know if that's technically incorrect.
I don't think that it's technically correct either.
Fair enough.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I like the one where, hold on, let me try to find it.
In this year, Michael Keaton played three characters.
All the characters that Michael Keaton played,
yeah, there it is,
had B names. This one and Batman. Fucking.
And Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne and Illy. Fucking God. Okay, I'm going to read this. I didn't even finish reading this because I got so pissed off. I had to just scroll past it. So I don't know how much of a gold fucking mine it is. Michael Keaton, who also starred in Batman opposite Jack Nicholson as the Joker, appears in this film basically playing a version of the same type of R.P. McMurphy character that Jack Nicholson played in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Christopher Lloyd, who played Tabor alongside Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, also stars with Keaton in this movie. Wow. Small worlds, right? Basically the same character.
Well, and then there's the Back to the Future connection. So, 9/11.
So, how can it be? Fucking. My favorite part is when, like, the upside down knot, Crispin Glover, crashes into the Twin Towers. And it's like, so how can it be?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking.
Or when he's hung upside down.
This, I did not know this until recently because I'm stupid. Crispin Glover is not in Back to the Future 2.
Oh, no?
It's a they had a mold of his face because they did the prosthetics for his older version in Back to the Future. And they made a mold of his face for someone to wear.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like,
do they have any lines?
Yeah. He plays the same character. It's just he's wearing
only
a
he doesn't.
Crispin. No, I'm saying this person is playing the same character. Yeah, he's just wearing a Crispin Glover.
What?
Uh-huh. Insane. I never knew that because I knew that he's obviously wearing prosthetics because of the fact that he's playing older him, right? But I guess he goes back to 1955 too. And I guess, yeah, I don't know. I guess that makes sense why they didn't have. Why they just show it from a distance and they don't, whatever. Anyway,
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Grew up on those movies, so. I'm telling you. No, I'm saying I would watch them over and over. I will say this.
I think 2 is the one I've seen the least.
Same. 2 is the one I've seen the least. 3, 1 and 3, I've seen
3
the
was
most.
On cable, like, all the time.
I've seen 3 so many times. 1, I've seen a lot.
Came out the same summer.
2 and 3?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
This is not correct. They were released in 1988 and 1989, a year apart.
But Back to the Future 2 was always the one that one was the one that was like the least, like, because we had like 1 and 3 on VHS, but we didn't have 2 for some reason, so I didn't get the opportunity to watch that one as much. But I'll tell you, whenever I did watch it, I'm not going to lie, Michael J. Fox playing his older daughter, like his older him's daughter, like...
I don't remember.
Mom, Dad, like in the wig. I was like, oh my God, that hilarious. Was definitely a...
this guy.
I know. It was a very young... I was like, oh...
One of your roots.
I was like, what... This is an interesting feeling I have in places in my body that aren't where things
I thought I had happen. To pee, but I didn't.
It wasn't like down there. It was just like, you know, you get that like tingle and you're like, what's going on? Why do I feel warm all over? That's weird. It's like, he's kind of pretty. And, you know, like, don't say these words out loud.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
What I love is that Bugs Bunny is canonically trans. The creator of Bugs Bunny was like actually intended for Bugs Bunny to switch genders basically like at will. Like, it was supposed to be, like...
Oh, yeah, like Loki.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes. Based on Loki, but... or, like, loosely based on... Like, based on the same concept of Loki, not based off of Loki, but... Yeah. Anyway. The Dream Team.
So, I'll just go through casting since we've already referenced... We got Bruce Wayne. We've got Dr. Emmett Brown.
We have Everybody Loves Raymond's Dad.
Frank Barone. / the monster.
Yes, correct.
Young Frankenstein's monster.
Yes.
Also, he's that cop in Malcolm X that says, like, that's too much power for one man to have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
According to Jiminy Glick, he was in Patton.
He was in what?
Patton.
You know, I think of all the things you did when you, as General Patton, stood before those people and said, give them hell, Harry, or whatever the specifics of the scene. I thought it was wonderful. I remember turning to my wife, Dixie, and saying, there's a bald-headed gentleman with an attitude. And you don't often see that.
I wasn't in that movie. I wasn't in
You Patton. Weren't in... Stacy!
What's that?
It's a movie. It's a biopic about General Patton.
Oh,
starring
that's familiar.
George C. Scott. That's the joke. Yeah, weird that you don't know a film from the 70s that's about a World War II general.
Two of my least favorite things in films. I don't like watching movies from the 70s, despite the fact that Alien is one of my favorite
Anytime
films.
You've seen a scene where someone in a military uniform, or not a uniform, like fatigues, and specifically with a helmet on, in front of a giant American flag that fills the frame... You're familiar with this image?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I think they do it in that version of Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah. That you went,
yeah,
and jumped.
That's a reference to Patton because there's...
Gotcha.
He gives a historical speech and that's how it's framed. He's a tiny little dude in front of a frame
Who's
filling.
Who's saying capered.
And then Verkoto. From Babylon 5?
Oh, yeah.
If restoring the Centauri Republic means nothing to you, what does? What do you want?
I'd like to live just long enough to be there when they cut off your head and stick it on a pike as a warning to the next 10 generations that some favors come with too high a price. I want to look up into your lifeless eyes and wave like this. Can you and your associates arrange that for me, Mr. Morton?
And the therapist from...
Rick Wick Schweigert, Schweigert from the Better Call Saul.
The therapist from The Sopranos.
She's in there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that Bruce Wayne's girlfriend?
Yes.
You don't agree that you had a panic attack? How are you feeling now?
She plays a therapist.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember she was... the actress Lorraine Bracco was in a commercial for some sort of like antidepressant or whatever. And she said, she was like, I spent, she was like talking about like her experience with depression or something. And she said, like, I spent several months in stagnation or something like that. And my mom saw it and she was like, that's it. And I don't know why. It was just like, as my mom's like, that's all.
And I've, amateur.
Yeah. She's like, I just started hysterically laughing, you know, because it was just like, I do enjoy that. Like, if something's on TV and you're not like necessarily watching it, and then, but something is said and another person just, you know, riffs off it. That's a very funny thing for me. What my dad used to do this thing and it drove me fucking nuts, and I don't know why he would do it, but we would be watching something on television and he'd be like outside, like working on the car, or he'd be like exercising or cleaning or something. Yeah. And he would come in the house, walk through the living room, and he'd be like, oh, what are you watching? As he's leaving, as he's like going to the bathroom. And I'd be like, what the fuck? Why are you asking? And then he'd come back and he'd be like, is it good? And then just like walk out. And I would just like watch him and be like, why are you speaking? Like, I don't understand. We're not answering you because you're leaving as you're asking the question. It was so, and this other thing he did, it used to like make me like physically, like I would get like enraged when I would come in and I would sit down. As I was sitting down, he would start standing up and say, you want to sit here? And I'd be like, I'm sitting down. I'd be like, yeah, but if you wanted to sit here. And I'm like, I don't want to sit there. I want to sit where I wouldn't like look around and be like, oh, let me sit here. I would just like walk in and just sit somewhere. And he'd be like, you want to sit here? And I'd be like, why do we have to do that? I'm like, I would probably ask you if I wanted to sit there. I would tell you that I wanted to sit there before I sat somewhere else and got comfortable. And he'd be like, but you could sit here. And I'm like, ah, why? Anyway, this movie's about crazy people. Sorry. I really want to read more IMDb trivia, but we should talk about the plot of this film first.
I'm going to talk about how this movie is exactly like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I like how it's like, Jesus it's like, Christ. It's like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is about people in a mental hospital. This movie is also about people who are not in a mental hospital, but should be. Like, what the, this is basically the same film. It's not though. No. He's basically the same character. He's not at all. He's not. One.
Were there no movies between 1975 and 1989 that had anything remotely like dealing with like people in a mental home?
I just like that it's whatever. Like it's a very like, it's so dark and it's like so fucked up. Like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Unlike Cuckoo's Nest.
It's so fucked up. Like it's so, like it's fucking what's his name? Little tiny Brad. We love him. And he has a daughter that was on
Bradley Fiona. Cooper.
Dourif. Brad Dourif. What? Not quite. It's Dourif. Yeah. Dourif. I knew it. I had the wrong consonant. Brad Dourif. He's like a little, he's like this little tiny guy in that because he's
in what?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh.
He's so little and he like loses his virginity to like one of the nurses or something because he's like been in a mental hospital since he was like a teenager. So
is it consensual?
Yes, it's consensual. Okay. It's not anything gross. But then someone like makes him feel like shit and he goes and kills himself because he had sex.
Oh, right.
So he fucking kills himself. And fucking, like, Jack Nicholson gets lobotomized and then fucking Native American strangles him to death or whatever, or smothers him. I don't know. We love killing white men, so it's fine. I mean, it's accurate, I guess.
Isn't it also like a mercy killing?
Yes.
Basically?
He gets lobotomized so that he kills him because he's like, I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
I've seen it like one time in my entire life, and it was as a teenager.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that was allowed to happen. And I'm just like, what the fuck? It was just so
PG.
Like, it was not a good.
Minty posted a thing that was like, I'm sure he didn't create it, but it was like PG in the 80s versus today. And it's like, today is just like a nice, cute, fluffy dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 80s is like, you know, some horrible
werewolf. Yeah. 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 It was definitely a strange. Like, if it was made for kids, it would be PG and you would watch it and you'd
be
like,
G.
No, if it was made for kids, it was PG, and then you'd watch it and you're like, oh, the nothing kills the horse? Cool. It's swallowed by its own despair. Great. I'm 8. Guess I know what
unrelated.
Suicide is.
Look, the bog of despair is unrelated to the nothing.
It's true. But it exists because the nothing has created. Oh my God. Fucking God. That still when people show or.
Yeah.
Artax. No, Atreyu. No, wait.
Artax is the horse.
Artax is the horse.
Atreyu is the boy.
Is the boy. Okay.
I believe. Don't quote me on. Don't send a Falcor for me.
Fucking Falcor. Man, I wanted a Falcor so bad.
Duh.
I wanted
Falcor. I've been compared to Falcor.
Oh, I can see that. Aww. Oh, I do have Falcor. Oh. That's so. Oh my God. And your hair is
like
getting
Gene
white.
With the gimp mask on.
Oh my God. The whiter your hair gets, the more like Falcor. You're so tall. Aww.
Falcor wasn't tall.
No, he was long. Yeah, but that's that.
Anyway,
if he stood up, he'd be tall.
I don't want to cry talking about on the episode about the dream team.
I think Dennis Bootsy Carey's is he's a pretty he's a smoke show.
He's got something.
Bit of a smoke show. And
every time I see him, every time he turns up in something, I like him.
Yeah, I'm like.
I mean, to be fair, it's Saul that really sold me on him.
Yeah.
He's not got a huge character, and it's a very pretty.
Yeah, it's a pretty bowring character. I'm going to look up his trivia to see. It looks like.
We got 100,000.
He's done 140 audiobooks. Oh, my God.
Oh, nice. I honestly, I'd take him over Ron Silver.
Oh my God.
I mean, Ron Silver is no longer with us, I don't think, but.
But I mean, when he was, yeah. He's like, Ron Silver is like, if you can't get Dennis Bootsy Carey's.
I just like to imagine him in that scene instead of Ron Silver where he's on his. Chest press machine or whatever, spitting and quoting Bible verses.
The thing is, I feel like Dennis Bootsikaris is like a foot shorter than Ron Silver or anyone really. And like at any given time, he just morphs to be a foot shorter than whoever he's next to.
Like that video I brought up the other day about the guy who's like, everybody's got their own personal sun and it moves with them.
Yes, that's Dennis Bootsikaris.
Yeah.
Only he just.
You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
I swear he was in the movie and he was like turned to the side and it looked like he had this huge scar on his cheek and I was like, what? Is that why he always has a beard? And I don't know. I just
maybe
I don't see anything. I was like, that can't be. Yeah, he's got like a scar on his cheek. But I can't find anything.
Boots is scarus.
You can see. It looks like it's just a facial line, but that's. But it's not on the other side. Huh. Yeah. Sometimes that happens. No, it's like. I mean, it's the same. It's the same size as it was like. In the movie,
okay.
You know, it didn't get.
Well, then it's conveniently located as facial scars go.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's so interesting, like. facial scars are so fascinating to me. I want to know every, like, if someone has a scar on their face, I'm like, oh, it's rude to ask them. But I want to be like, can we talk about it? Can you tell me what that's about?
What was the thing with Dermot Mulroney?
Oh, yeah. He, like, fell on a...
Feeding the rabbits or something?
Yeah, or something. He was bringing a bowl of food to his rabbit or whatever and fell and it hit him on the...
When he was, like, fucking three or something.
Yeah.
That's why he's got that scar.
When I was a kid, there was this mom who had these insane facial scars. And I always wanted to know what the fuck... I always wanted to know what happened to her. And, like, no one ever talked about it. But she had, like, literally, like...
Ooh.
Like, yeah, like, why so serious scars on her face? I'm not kidding. Like, they were just, like...
No, I know.
These, like... I was just like, what happened? Like, and it's always weird to me. Like, I'm not saying that I think that it's kosher to, like... be like, hey, you have differences, tell me about them. But at the same time, like, people are like, it's impolite to, I'm like, but is it impolite to, like, acknowledge that, like, you see it and you don't really care, you're just interested, you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between, like, staring and not saying anything and then just being like, hey, what's up with the scars? That's crazy.
All
right?
The memes too about, like,
little kids.
A toddler when they see a disabled person.
It's so true. God, I saw someone walking one time and they had like a prosthetic leg, but one of the cool looking ones where like they don't bother to like make it look fake. Mm-hmm. It's just like all the fucking...
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, and I was just like, oh God, it's so fucking cool. I don't mean that in a shitty way. I'm not like, I don't fetishize it. I'm not like, wow, that's so hot. I was just like, fuck yeah, I love when, but I like that kind of thing. Like if I had like a fake, like if I lost a leg, I wouldn't be like, can I have a prosthetic leg that looks like a real leg and a foot?
Yeah, do they even do
I'd
that?
Be like, no.
Yeah, does it exist?
I mean, I guess they do it because feet, like they try to make a foot so that you can wear shoes or whatever. But I'm like, that's so, I'd be so weirded out by that. I'd be like, I don't want a fake foot so I can put a shoe on it. Like, I don't really need that.
I would.
I'd be like, I'll just have one shoe. Like, I'm fine with just, like, having one cool shoe and then the other foot is, like, there's this one singer or maybe, yeah, and she, like, has these insane prosthetic legs. I think I sent you her video, like, 15 years ago when we first met. Or whenever we first met, and she had this like, she has this like one of them is just like it goes to like a point, like a very sharp.
Yeah.
Point. Oh man, that shit's so cool. I'm like, yeah, make it. I mean, like people that have like prosthetic eyes and they don't like have an eye with an eye, like they'll get like
a fucking rose quartz or something.
I saw one guy who had like a light. In his eye, like he
fuck,
put
yeah.
a light right exactly. I'm like, hell yes,
get them board game plans
exactly. I'm like, absolutely,
yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna be like, I want to seem normal. I'm like, I already know I'm not normal, and like, if I have a physical,
yeah, exactly.
I'm not gonna be like, let's try to pretend. And then someone finds out and they're like, I didn't know, yeah. I'm just no,
different
okay.
times,
yeah,
you know?
I guess. Anyway, whatever. Sorry that I'm
if Sammy Davis Jr. were alive today, I'm sure he'd be rocking a. LED pointer.
My grandpa. I think that's where my
grandpa.
My
for
grandpa.
Instance.
My grandpa. He's dead now.
R.I.P.
But he like he thought I was cool because when the first like the first time I met him as like a 7 year old, he was like, "Hey, check this out!" And he lifted up his pant leg and he just had like a fucking like crutch, like but he had like one of those like
yeah.
bar, and I was like. And I didn't like react, and he was like, "She's kind of awesome."
Why do you misgender you?
Because he knew that I was going to grow up to be a femdom, that it was going to be in my career. I know I misgender myself all the time for work now, which is fun and not confusing. No, but yeah, he was like, "What's?" He was like, "This kid's weird," and thumbs up. Yeah, but that's probably where my fascination with like prosthetic. I'm like, oh.
For
it wasn't
most of my
scary
time, at
he
the,
thought he was going to freak me out. That's
yeah,
why
right.
he did it. He thought I was going to be like, ooh, and I was just like, oh.
He thought he was going to pull a topsy on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was just like, oh, that's neat. You don't have a leg.
For most of my time at the co-op, there was a physical therapy place. I don't know. It might still exist in there in the mall. But
oh, right. Yeah. I remember that.
And so we get a regular, we had some regulars who were folks who were missing limbs.
Yeah. I always want to know things. And it's not because I'm like,
I think more than one of them too were like athletes.
Yeah.
Paralympic athletes.
Yeah. That's the fucking weird ass, like, what the runners that have like the leg.
Oh, the blades. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I know. Fucking cool, man. That shit looks so cool. Anyway, sorry.
Like, enough about fetishizing artificial limbs.
The Dream Team. Clearly, we were just overjoyed.
The video
with this
for
one.
Is it Paparazzi, where she's on crutches and
yeah,
shit?
Yeah.
Boo.
I mean, you know, she's disabled now, so it's fine.
She is.
She has fibromyalgia, so she's in constant pain. Maybe she has whatever.
She gets a retro pass then.
Yeah. The Dream Team, yeah. This was when it opens on Keaton playing the ping pong.
Yeah.
I loved that scene so much. The way he was with the guy. Yeah. That was so fucking sweet.
Okay, Kenny. Put your game face on. Here we go. Ready? Let me tell you something, Ken. I played some of the top Chinese guys. If you ever work up a serve to go to that backhand, it's going to be a dark day in Peking, babe.
I love how he's like, his thing is that he can't control his anger or whatever, and he's like just a standard white guy, basically.
These days.
Like, what?
Yeah. He's like, who would be the comedic relief of a buddy comedy?
Yeah.
You know, the angry guy that can't keep it together.
He's
a pathological liar who
Elliot
sometimes...
Elliot Stabler would fucking eat for breakfast. For looking at his daughter or whatever.
It's true. Elliot Stabler would be like, you think that's losing your temper? Let me show you the eyeballs of all the pedophiles I've killed. Like...
This is my short eyeball collection.
That's so good.
The way you set it up, thank you.
Fucking short eyeball. That's one thing I love about SVU, that Stabler will be like, he's a cool guy. That guy's a pedophile. And he's like, I'm going to kill him so hard and so fast. He's just like, oh, I'm going to hurt you. So he just gets so, it's almost like, it's to the point that you're like, wait, are you a pedophile?
Because exactly. It's like.
When Elliot Stabler dies, the amount of child pornography on his computer will be insane.
Girl.
Okay, the Dream Team.
Or at least, make him have been abused. Like, every female character in a cop show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, they did that with, whatchamacallit's character, Shorthands.
Olivia?
No, Shorthands, McIrish, or whatever his name is. he was the guy that was in the first season, and then he came back and was porking Olivia, and he's got short fingers, and he's got little tiny stubbly.
You mean Mayhem?
Yeah, Mayhem. Yeah, they did that with him.
Fucking, you probably don't even like Nipsips. Fuck, what's
the
his
vulture.
Name? What's his goddamn name?
I know. I know what his name is too. Cause like, yeah, fucking, he's. I'm just gonna Mayhem.
So
actor.
So frustrating.
I know, and I know him from Oz. I thought he was so... I know that I've told you the story.
Dean something? Dean Winter.
Yes.
And then his brother's a shitty actor, too, right?
He played
I mean, I think... I like Dean Winter as an actor.
Yeah. His brother played, mentally disabled... person on Oz who was like, he was like slow or whatever and was in prison with him. And so I used to, I know I've told you the story. I used to think Dean Winters was very hot. I thought he was so hot and he was always naked on Oz. So I was like, ooh la la. And then he was like,
and then you saw his fingies.
I saw his fingers and I literally was like, ooh. And he, I just lost it. There was just like nothing there anymore. And I just was like, I can't. Hands are huge for me. If you have, if you have not great hands, I'll like ask people to see their hands. Like if I start to have feelings, I'm like, what do your hands look like? Obviously, back when I had the internet as a tool for masturbatory purposes.
No longer.
No longer. Not for my masturbatory purposes, for
not
others.
Not in Biden's America.
Oh, man. Politics. Politically speaking, we're going the great way. Did you know that in like Arkansas or something, Pornhub is no longer available because they created a law where you have to like, basically it's the law that they're trying
to do.
You
gotta like scan your ID.
Yeah, you have to scan
your ID. I think Virginia too has something like that.
Oh, that might be what it is. It might be Virginia.
I know that because one time I forgot I had my VPN on and got a strange message. Speaking of, though, I for the first time ever, I scanned my driver's license
into Pornhub
to buy alcohol.
Oh, interesting.
Just at the Meijer.
Oh, that, I've had that happen before. I mean, I've had other people scan it, but I think I've, I think
maybe it's
I've,
not the first time, but
I feel like I've scanned. It's like you have to, yeah. What was I gonna say though? I was gonna say something. Shit, I was gonna say something. About
pornography.
Oh, Hub. FetLife. You have to scan, like, if you want to be on FetLife,
which I don't.
Or it's not like if you want to be on FetLife, but if you want to be verified on FetLife, you have to send your, which is like you can't do certain things if you're not verified. Like, you're not going to be able to, I don't think you're going to be able to, like, join communities and stuff like that. So you have to, like, prove that you're a real person, basically. But
so that one murderer.
You can get around that by, oh, right. Wasn't that Christopher guy? Oh, God.
I don't need anyway. That. Sorry. Who cares about his name?
Yeah. We can bleep it out. We'll put stupid killer.
We'll put Richard Dreyfuss.
My favorite thing is whenever we're doing, you can tell we had a lot of fun with this movie because we're doing everything we can not to talk about it. And by we, I mean me. My favorite thing is when we're recording and I'm like, this is our newest thing and it's going to be the thing that we do for so long. And then when we listen to it like 2 weeks later, it's like, I'm like, oh, all right, we did that. I don't remember. I'm like, why? Okay, well, that didn't catch on. It's like something that we quote, like a TV show that we quote, that we're quoting. We're like, this is our new thing. And then it's not.
Regular forever. Notes.
Exactly. I mean, we do reference that still, but not usually on the pod.
But I think that's good that we change beat a horse back to life and then kill it again before we move on.
Yeah.
What am I saying? Mm-hmm. Look, this movie should have been good.
Yeah. No, that you're right. Yeah. That's exactly it. It should have been good. I didn't like it because it was it's the thing of like, you know, mistaken identity almost.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What, you know, like it just gave me too much anxiety it made me more anxious than it did make me laugh at any point.
I feel like it lacks focus, kind of.
It lacks focus,
there's too many things, right? Yeah. Like, and you get too many characters, but they don't get enough. None of them get enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got this whole fucking murder thing.
It could have been without. I think it would have been fine if the whole thing was them being
trying to get the doc.
Trying to figure out where he was.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like trying to find him and trying to like figure out how to, you know, survive, and then realizing that they were a lot more capable than they thought that they were. And that's sort of what happens, but alongside. So what happened? Okay, so the plot of the movie is these four guys are in a group, like in a mental hospital group. These four guys are in the
In a therapy group.
They're in a therapy group, but together, it's only four of them. And they're all none of them like each other. And they're maybe not none of them, but most of them don't like each other. And they're all really annoyed by and annoying to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Bootsy Karras plays their doctor, and he's like, I know, we're going to go on a day trip and watch a
baseball
game. But
also, this is another thing that was not made clear enough, in my opinion, is that he has taken them off of medication.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of his...
Yeah, he's
why
weaning them off of medication. But this is that mood makes sense to me. Because it's like, if they were being weaned off medication and then it was like they're being let out or something, or they're being weaned off medication, you know, the weaning them off medication doesn't make it makes more sense to me, because I know that the doctors love just doing that. They like just doing that to you. But it doesn't necessarily make sense that they wouldn't be on any medication.
Well, it's also,
you know what I mean? And then
80 years ago. So,
well, yes. But what I mean is, like, usually they lower the dosage. They don't just stop you taking it.
Well, it's also,
you know?
I think they're talking specifically Thorazine keeps getting referenced, which is basically just a
tranquilizer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, you shouldn't have, like, people that are constantly on tranquilizers are not going to be able to get better because they're not going to be functional. So that makes sense. But he's like, they're probably going to be here for the rest of their life. That's the part where I was like, then
why are we doing this?
Why are you trying to do anything for them? Also, they're not violent criminals. Like, they're not people that are like a danger to themselves or others.
Except for Keaton.
Keaton like gets in fights and that's it. And then Christopher Lloyd is a clean freak. He's basically
he's
a little bit delusional.
Extreme OCD.
Yeah, and he's a little bit delusional. He's convinced he's a doctor, but I guess he works for public works or whatever is what Keaton said. When they're all in the jail, he was like, you went home and found out that you actually work for the sanitation department or something like that.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
And when he was like saying, because he goes out and he talks to Lorraine Bracco and then he comes back in. Because he's mad at everyone and he's pitching a fit. And then he goes out and he talks to Lorraine Bracco. And she's like, come on, you love these guys.
Yeah.
Stop pretending like you don't. And he goes back in and he's like, we're actually doing great because you did this and you did this and you did that, you know.
Weitzman knew what he was doing. Albert just told me where to get off. That's progress, right? Henry, you went home, you discovered you weren't the Department of Sanitation, right? Jack, you remembered you were a better copywriter than a messiah.
So, Boots Karras is their doctor, and he says, I want to take them on a day trip to a baseball game, and everybody's against this, but they let him do it anyway. Okay. And so he takes...
Everyone meaning hospital administration.
Yeah, basically everybody at the hospital is like, this is a terrible idea. Why are you doing this?
His boss, played by Milos O'Shea, Duran Duran himself.
Yes. Duran Duran himself. Duran Duran. Boots Karras is like, I'm going to take them out for a baseball game. The thing is, none of them are very excited about it. That's the thing, really, also, that's like, because they're like, why are we doing this? So none of them are excited about it. None of them are into it. He's taking them to a baseball game anyway. And while he's taking them to the baseball game, one of them, who's basically autistic and like, he's not nonverbal, but he doesn't use his own words. He speaks in echolalia, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He only copies the TV. So, he has to pee. And so Bootsy Karras pulls over. There's no bathroom. So he takes him into an alleyway to take a piss. Sure. Yep. You're in New York. And the only place to pee us.
No, that tracks.
Is a gas station that's closing at 2 p.m. in the middle of the day. Okay.
Excuse me. Can I have a key to the men's room, please?
No hablo inglés.
Por favor, señor, los llaves.
I don't speak Spanish either. Piss in the alley.
Oh, come on, man. It'll just be a minute.
Toilet's broke. Alley works.
So, while he's taking the guy to pee, Bootsicaris loses track of him, tries to find him, and then walks into a building and sees two cops murderalizing someone. And then they hit him over the head. And then a bunch of kids run up and they take off so they can't finish the job.
Well, and Albert is sees all this.
He sees all this, but they don't see him.
Correct.
Anyway, so the cops run off.
I just realized he's basically dressed like Magnum P.I.
Yeah. That's a good. That's I didn't get that, but you're right. So they like an ambulance comes into the alleyway where Albert's taking a piss and nobody seems to notice any of this is going on. And they take the doctor away. Albert's left behind. He knows what happens, but he doesn't talk in sentences that aren't just baseball terms or
Darmok and Gillotte at the bottom of the ninth.
Correct. I hate you.
Thank you so much.
And he, so, you know, it's them basically trying to figure out what happened to the doctor, where to go. And it's all of them like sort of like they end up like revisiting, like Christopher Lloyd goes back to his wife,
Peter and kid Boyle. That somehow remembers him. That felt a little weird. It's definitely forced, but
yeah. I like
I have
how
your clipboard for my pictures.
My favorite part is he's been in there for like a year and a half,
right?
And he has like family. There's family pictures on the wall right. of the kid, same age as she is now. Like if you've ever been around a child, a year and a half in a child, they're not
they
going to look
different every 6 months.
Exactly, they're insanely
for
like
your first
right.
15 years.
Exactly, yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's nonsensical. And like, whatever. Anyway,
come on.
Yeah. Peter Boyle goes to the...
Am I expected to believe this?
Marketing agency.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Keaton just gets in as many fights as he can. And Albert doesn't have anyone or anything.
He needs a chicken.
He gets scared by a chicken. Anyway. And it ends up to where they figure out that like the cops are like... tried to kill, like they walk in on the cops trying to kill Bootsicaris in the hospital.
Oh yeah, right.
And then the cops are like, those
because,
guys.
Because the original, yeah, sorry.
And those guys try to, they like the cops are like, oh yeah, those escaped mental patients are the ones that tried to kill him. And so it's this whole thing where it's
yeah,
like the
but,
back and forth.
We skipped that. Those Pacific two cops are the ones who did the murder that Bootsicaris witnessed.
I thought I said that.
If you did, I missed it. I apologize. Anyway.
Yeah.
So further hijinks from there, but it's, man.
There's just too much. It's too much going on. Like, and I like how they figure it out by them beating up one of the cops, and then everyone's like, ah, clearly. Like
I don't remember.
Like, they crash the van into the cop car and then knock the cop, like, knock the gun out of one of the cop's hands and then chase after another cop with a gun. And it's like, yep, none of this is questioned. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah, what
confusing.
Is happening?
It's very confusing.
Yeah. And then it's like the like... bookend news report at the end that's like, and then the mental hospital patients were, and Bootsicaris, that's not his name in the movie, I don't fucking remember what his name is, Dr. Bootsicaris
Weitzman?
Dr. Bootsicaris comes out, they're like, according to Dr. Bootsicaris and Michael Keaton and Peter Boyle and Autism Speaks and Doc Brown, fucking, the cops were bad. Look at you remembering a name. I said Durig. I just mispronounced Durag.
It fucked me up so bad, too, that I just couldn't think of his name. It's too close. You know that thing that happens?
I do. But I have to say, sometimes I have to say the wrong thing in order to get to the right thing.
Oh, you know, I relate to that.
Which makes me feel insane, or just like I'm.
Well, it makes
you
feel like your parent.
It makes me feel like I'm just speed trucking to an Alzheimer's diagnosis.
Speed trucking.
Because I don't know. I know that I've told you this before, but I don't know if you'll remember. The next door neighbor to my grandparents' house that I grew up around, Harriet, who was the coolest. She was so fucking cool. She was single. She was probably a homo, but she was she had she was old as shit. And so she had all this shit, all this vintage shit in her house, all this stuff. Her house was so cool. I loved going to her house so fucking much. It's probably where I love that vintagey look. And everything in her house was that green color. Oh, fuck. Oh. Anyway, she got Alzheimer's and it was
oh, no.
It was so fast and so bad and so quick. And she was she was at my grandparents'. She would get so confused, and it was so hard for me because I was, 7, and I knew what was happening to her, and she didn't, and it was that weird thing of, I'm aware, and I don't know how to, you know. No. And it was this person.
Most adults aren't equipped for that.
Right, and it's, this woman that was so fucking cool and was so independent and, lived on her own and had, all this shit. Maybe she wasn't. Maybe her husband died or something. And then she was just, crumbling right in front of my eyes as a little kid. It was terrifying for me. And I remember I have this very distinct memory of there was a commercial that came on TV, and it was an advertisement for something. I don't remember what the advertisement was for, but you know how they'd be they'd be like, call this number to get this product or whatever. And she was writing down the information. The commercial ended. Jeopardy came on, and she just started writing down everything from Jeopardy
that was being said.
Yeah. And she was like, what's his name? Alex Trebek. And they were like, you know, they were trying to, and she just kept writing shit down because she wasn't aware that it was different now.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I have this terrible fear of Alzheimer's. Plus my dad has dementia, but it's very slow acting and it's from a lot of blows to the head throughout his life from boxing and also getting hit in the head with a crane when I was a teenager. He was a lot cooler after that.
Must be nice to have a father.
But I do the thing where I'll have a word in my head. It'll be you know, instead of saying footstool, I'll be finger paint. And I'm that's not it. It's, I don't know what it is, but that's the only thing. And I'll be finger paint, footstool. And it's
the story you told me that made me understand this about you was CD rack.
CD holder.
CD holder.
Yeah. Yeah. One time. My mom woke me up and I was asking her what time it was. And she just was not, she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, what time is it? And she was like, what? What are you saying? And I just was like, what time is it? And she was like, what are you saying? What are you asking me about? And as I was emphatically and frustratedly asking, what time is it? I realized that the words coming out of my mouth were, where's the CD holder? That's what I had been. And I thought in my head, I was very sure that I was asking what time it was, but I actually was saying, where's the CD holder? First of all, the CD holder? Which one? I don't know what I'm talking about there. And I was just so upset that she was not telling me what time it was. And so that's a fun thing. That's a fun brain thing. If I'm half asleep, sometimes I'll just,
I'm sorry, we need to end this episode so you can get a CAT scan or an MRI.
Sometimes I just, when I think one of my least favorite things though, is that I don't do it as much anymore now that I'm medicated. Because I feel like it takes a lot for me to be able to talk at all. And I'm usually I have to be more awake before I can even use my mouth. I mean with my nighttime meds, not just with my daytime meds. So I used to say things in the morning, but I wasn't saying words. I was just no idea that that's what I was doing. I would just wake up and I'd be like, how are you doing? And really what I would say is, I didn't know. What is that? What is that disconnect in my head? What?
Aphasia.
It's like early morning aphasia.
Man, Mambo dog face is a banana patch.
Oh, I want to say a pink vinyl purse. Like, that's, yeah, I just say shit sometimes. Is that aphasia? Like, is it, like, I literally.
I don't know.
So what exactly is aphasia? Aphasia is an acquired communication disorder. Acquired means that you're not born with aphasia. It's something that happens to people after a stroke, brain injury, or a neurological disorder called primary progressive aphasia.
But I literally cannot think of the word. Like, if I'm, like, what I'm saying about, like, finger paint, I'm like, I know this is not the right word. I don't
Snatchy.
Think, yeah, I don't think this is the right word. I'm fully aware that it's not the right word. But if I don't say it out loud,
yeah,
it's going to say in my head. So it'll be, and it's almost immediate, too. You know, finger paint. Nope, footstool. That's what it is. It's like, it's this thing. It's this switch. And it's so enraging.
I relate
enraging.
To it somewhat.
It's,
I mean,
so enraging.
You know I do this with names.
Yeah.
It's associative. Like, I gotta go through 4 or 5 people before I get to the right name.
That's what my mom would do, but towards us kids. She would just call us all different
I grew
names.
Up with that, too. Every male, every male in the family, every woman in the family did this, too. So I don't know what that is.
That's just,
they would just have to run through every male name in the family until they got hit on one that somebody responded to, or the right person responded to.
So fucking funny. It's just like, I remember my mom.
And it's not like there were tons of kids. You know what I mean? Like, we're not a huge family in that way.
Something my mom told me when I was young. Like, I used to call for mom in the store, or like if we were in public and I'd call for mom, and she would never respond to
call
it.
Call to mom.
And I was like, why can't I? Like, anytime I'm calling for you, and she's like, you're saying the word mom in public. She's like, I have to tune that word out when we're in public,
right?
Because
otherwise,
if I responded to every mom I heard, I would not know what was going on. Correct. She's like, if we're in public and you need my attention, say my name. And so I used to be like, Connie. And she would be like, what? It, like, that was like,
wild.
It was like a thing where I could say, more specifically, Connie B is the, that's, I don't know, that's what her best friend calls her.
Okay.
So Connie B is what we'd yell at her if we needed her attention in public. Because we'd be like, mom, and she'd just keep going. She didn't give a shit. I don't know how much of that. Like, I want to believe a little bit. I want to believe that she was doing it on purpose.
Probably.
But, you know. Anyway, Dream Team, would you recommend?
Nah. I did not have high expectations for it because I didn't remember anything about it, but I have seen it before. I wasn't expecting much is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I didn't remember having like a fabulous time watching it or anything.
Apparently this like kind of, it like didn't have much success in the theater.
Right.
And then it was a huge hit on rental.
I guess that tracks.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
I think it doesn't really work. It's okay, you know.
Yeah,
it's not. It's not offensive, really. I mean, you know.
It's not right.
You know, of course, with all these movies we're doing this month, like most of them are gonna not age well as far as like the language and how mental health is framed and talked about.
Like they're supposedly in this movie. Keaton says at one point that they're all paranoid. They're all paranoid schizophrenics.
Right.
I'm like, no, you're not.
No. I don't think any of them are.
No. Nope.
I mean, you might like.
Maybe Peter Boyle's character. He thinks he's Jesus, but.
Man, his character is almost the most disappointing.
Yeah. And I mean, I was like, I was disappointed mainly because I was excited to watch this because Keaton's fucking funny.
As always.
3.5 minutes he's given any space. The fucking, when he does the fucking brain shit. Oh my God. Very funny. Keaton is a very funny actor. He's good with physical comedy. He's good with like, you know, making faces and getting, you know, doing shit. He's got
having
them
that
brows.
Hair.
Yeah. He's got the hair of a Cocker Spaniel. He's got the hair of a much younger Cocker Spaniel's tail.
He's got the hair of an ear of a Cocker Spaniel.
Of a Cocker Heine. Anyway.
Didn't Oscar Wilde do hard time for that?
I don't think I'd recommend. Even if you're a Keaton fan, like, this is just, wasted on him. I was most excited for...
They're all wasted. I mean... Yeah,
no, for sure. Because Christopher Lloyd's hilarious, and nothing in this movie except for that weird flat butthole mouth he does in so much of it. Yeah. Strange.
I do appreciate his physical characterization that he does.
But it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't
none of the characters go do... I mean...
My favorite part, I thought, oh, this movie's going to be great when it starts and Keaton is playing ping pong with this guy who is like almost catatonic. Like he doesn't have, like he's not speaking.
Right.
And he is like, he's just holding a ping pong paddle and Keaton is, you know, playing ping pong with him. But the way it's so fucking sweet, he's just like he'll like hit the ping pong paddle. And it'll like bounce off and he's like, oh man, you're doing so good. And the guy just like he smiles and he looks like he's having such a good time. And I was like I almost wanted to cry. I was like, this is so sweet. And then he hits it at one point and it like hits the guy's paddle. It like actually hits it. And then he like moves his arm a little bit. And he was like, man, you're on fire or something. I don't know. It's just so fucking sweet. And he's like telling him that he's like, if you're playing a competition, man, I wouldn't want to be on the, you know, like on the team against you or whatever. Like, it's so fucking sweet. And he's just being so nice to this guy for no fucking reason other than he's just, you know. And then the next scene is him having a fucking meltdown and like throwing a chair through a window.
Yeah.
I like the physics of the chair and window. I was like, what? Very confused. There's so much glass on the ground for the chair just being stuck in the window. I was like, what is that? It was very confusing, but that was interesting. But yeah, it just doesn't, it falls so flat. It doesn't really do much to acknowledge, you know. Also, I fucking, the ending, I'm like, can we not set it up for a sequel that's going to be the exact same film?
Who's there?
Yeah, anyway, it was kind of disappointing.
And the musical choices.
As
Walk
Keith
the Dinosaur,
said,
isn't it?
Yeah, Walk the Dinosaur. Keith was losing his absolute hiney over Walk the Dinosaur. He was like, he was pumping his fist.
I did not expect it. So.
He did the thing where he closed his eyes and he's smiling, so I knew he was having a good... when Keith's eyes close and he smiles, you know he's having a good time. It's true.
What a gotcha.
Or they get almost when he's trying to open them, but he can't, and he's smiling. I'm like, oh, she partying.
Guys, here's the thing you need to know about me: when I smile, I'm having a good time.
Specifically, if your eyes are closed. I didn't say when you smile.
I know.
You're such a. Ooh. The big guns.
But yeah, I said the score, the soundtrack music, it just sounds like different demo settings on a keyboard.
So true.
We get reggae setting, we get blues.
It truly, like, they didn't make any sense. It was just like literally like, and then it would the next one would be like,
although,
ding-a-ling-ling, ding-a-ling-ling.
Let's go hard on the horns.
Yeah, it was so.
There's one that kind of slaps.
That's okay.
That I actually liked because it.
Yeah.
Broke out that.
It was no Psycho Cop credits.
Mm-mm. that inspired me to make something.
You went so hard.
I went straight
on that.
You
were fist pumping so hard. Because
it's
were
got
like,
one of my favorite shits in it.
Yeah.
Where it's just like a cymbal coming in. It's so hard.
he was losing it and I was so tired and
I was air drumming.
Yeah, he was like, yeah. He's like, isn't that good? And I was like, and then I fell asleep.
It's something that rarely happens outside of 70s funk music.
Yeah.
But when it shows up, I love it. It's in, like, it's one of my favorite parts about Fuck the Pain Away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
You guys know what I'm talking about. It's hitting that splash.
Yep.
Symbol.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
It's good.
I don't know symbol terminology. Don't at me.
Don't at me. Don't at me.
Yeah, just go watch, I don't know, Stir Crazy or fucking Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, watch, watch,
Crazy People. We should have watched Crazy People.
We should have watched
Starring Dale Hannah.
We should have. Ladies and gentlemen.